Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, this is some time that we're going to be dedicating to children. And I have a wonderful guest, Matthew Golub, and we're going to be playing some excerpts from his wonderful children's stories that we have two we're going to be talking about. Hey, it's holiday time and maybe you're a little flustered. Maybe you're trying to figure out something for that special kid of yours. Well, you're not going to want to miss out on this because this is really neat. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Matthew, when I found out about your materials, I believe I met you at the National Publicity Summit.
Yes.
And when I found out that you used music, I just think that is wonderful. And I think it's one of the greatest ways to help kids learn how to read. Now, both of your books, The Jazz Fly, as well as Gobble Quack Moon, have won the Benjamin Franklin Awards, which you are to be congratulated for. You really have a passion for this. Give me a little bit of a background on how you yourself got into music and why you decided that this was going to be something you wanted to do with kids.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're my kind of people, appreciating both literature and music. I started off as a drummer by banging on things that I would find in the kitchen. I would clang on pots and pans, and I really wanted a drum set by the time I got into fourth grade, and my mother started to say, well, show me that you want a drum set. And I'd say, well, what do you mean show you? I just told you that I want a drum set. She said, no, you've got to show me that you want a drum set. So I started taking out Tupperware and banging on Tupperware bowls with spatulas, things like that. And I would do this on the kitchen floor while she was trying to prepare dinner, making an utter pest of myself.
Wow.
So finally she said, okay, I believe that you want to have your own drum set. I will get you an inexpensive drum set under the condition that you keep it in the garage.
I wonder why she said that. Did she get an extra set of earplugs as well?
No, but she did work full time, so maybe that was for a reason that I didn't consider until just now.
All right, so this was your humble beginning, Matthew. You started off with beating on Tupperware when you were a short squirt. Your mom said, okay, you seem to have a passion for drums. I've noticed with kids that when they're introduced to musical instruments, often they want to try different things. We have a very dear friend family that we're very close to, and they have a 13-year-old who about 2 years ago decided he wanted to get involved with instruments, and he started with stringed instruments. He knew that he wanted the strings, and now he's really gotten into the guitar. How was it that you had this thing for drums?
Well, I guess, it's circumstantial. Sometimes you have a wonderful teacher who just connects with you somehow. Sometimes you fall in with a group of friends that listen to one kind of music or another. I actually liked listening to jazz ever since I was in high school. And I just found myself very comfortable around other musicians in the high school band. And I became a drum major in the marching band, and I guess I just associated very good times around music. And when I became a writer and started getting invited to schools to perform stories for kids, I really didn't know what I would do the first few times I went out. So just sort of on the spur of the moment, I decided to bring a pair of bongo drums. And boy, was that ever the right move, because they would say, boys and girls, here's Matthew Golub. And I would start off with, dun, da, da, dum, da, da, dum, da, da, dum, da, ka, da, ka, da, dum. And it would just get everybody going. and then it would get everybody clapping, and then we'd do this call and response. I would go plap, 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 and they would go stomp, 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 and I'd go clap, clap, and they would go stomp, stomp. So we had this communication going and camaraderie before I even uttered the first word of the presentation.
Music is a universal language. It is a language no matter where you go in the world. You either start with a drum, a violin, a guitar, and you have people immediately around you because it touches the heart, it's stimulus for the mind, and it liberates the spirit, as far as I'm concerned, depending on what you're playing, because music is, it tells so much without words.
And maybe depending on your generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I agree. Music is a great way to cross many barriers. And when you can add stories, just whimsical stories about a fly in a black tuxedo with a bow tie, such
mm-hmm.
as the jazz fly, and set that to bebop music, voila, it's a way of introducing kids to jazz, maybe music that they wouldn't ordinarily listen to.
Now, one of the most important factors with a book, and you've combined so many factors. You've combined the audio, you've combined the educational factor that the material inside of the book follows exactly what's on the audio. So it's a wonderful tool to help youngsters with learning. You're very deeply involved with literacy, and I am just so in favor of that myself. And here you are, your first book, I believe, was a jazz fly. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, it was the first one with audio.
The first one with audio. Now, Gobble Quack Moon was
the second one with audio.
The second one with audio.
Right.
Okay. What I would like to do,
mm-hmm.
I would like to play about 3 to 4 minutes, and Don's got it all prepped and ready to go, and we're going to play Gobble Quack Moon, just to give people a flavor of this. It's wonderful. And then we're going to get into the jazz fly, which I have to tell you is my favorite, because I like jazz, too. So anyway, we'll go into Gobble Quack Moon, and Don, if you've got it all set up and ready to go, let's go for it.
There was a little barn that smelled of fresh milled grain, where the sun poked through after days of rain. So out skipped four friends, two by two, with a
gobble, gobble, quack, hee-haw, moo, moo, moo. Gobble, gobble, moo, gobble, gobble, ha, quack, moo, quack, a quack, a moo, just like that.
The green grass sparkled in the golden sun. Splashing in the puddles sure looked fun. The turkey jumped first, then he hollered, "Let's race!" But Katie the cow gazed off in space. The good farmer Beth waltzed across the yard in her pink tutu and a leotard. The donkey told his friends, "Let's flop in the hay!" But Katie watched farmer Beth plie. After dancing, Farmer Beth brought the feed sack by with the corn and the barley piled up high. "Katie, what's wrong?" said Beth. "Here's lunch." The four barn buddies munch, munch, munched. "The farm," said the turkey, "is the life for me."
"Here, here."
The duck nodded.
"I agree."
But when they settled down to sleep that night, the stars above danced and the moon shone bright. Katie gazed up at a shimmering star. "I wonder what it's like to go way real far." "Leave the farm," screamed the turkey.
"Leave home," cried the duck.
"Our life here is good.
Why push our luck?"
"Squish, flop, munch," Katie sighed all day. "There must be more to life than mud and hay. I'd like to wear a tutu for a change of pace and dance on moonbeams up in space."
"Dear friend,"
the old donkey began to bray,
"Kitty's bored. What she needs is a space ballet."
"Oh, ballet. That's pretty. Oh,
duck each knew a thing about flight. They squawked and they quacked through half the night. Then the four made a plan and they talked and they drew with a gobble gobble quack. Hee-haw, moo-hoo. Gobble gobble moo, gobble gobble ha, quack. Moo quack a quack a moo, just like that. The next day started with a bang tat. The animals were building an incredible thing. A tall rocket ship made of cans and glue. While Farmer Beth slept in her bed with no clue.
10, 9, 8
quacked the duck. Wait, wait! I'm coming too! Crowed the cock-a-doodle-doo.
7, 6, 5, 4
Whoa, neighed the horse. I've got to squeeze in two, of course. Then the pig and the goat and the kitten and the sheep all climbed aboard in a big hairy heap.
3, 2, 1
Roger,
blast off.
And like that, the green farm looked as small as a pea. Gobble, gobble, quack, hee-haw, moo-moo.
Gobble, gobble, moo, gobble, gobble, ha, quack.
Moo, quack, a quack, a moo, just like that.
Gobble, gobble, moo, gobble, gobble, ha, quack.
Moo, quack, a quack, a moo, just like that. They landed on a surface full of Swiss cheese holes. Hey, who did all the digging?
Maybe big space balls.
Look at me, Katie Mood. We can float, no wait. How fun, how neat, how utterly great. The whole crew played a game of duck, duck, goosey.
Duck, duck, duck,
goose. Then they all jumped and danced the water to see.
This is Donna. I hope you enjoyed that little clip that we did. And I know this is for children, but if you're a parent, this gives you an opportunity to hear it. But there's so much to this story that is so positive. It really gives a good insight to kids. It encourages creativity. It encourages the love of dance, of music, and rhythm. All of these things are so important, and it also encourages their reading skills. Matthew, I wanted to ask you, how did you go about publishing this? I mean, this is absolutely beautifully done.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I started out my career with William Morrow. I did a number of books. They proceeded to get purchased by HarperCollins. Then I did another couple of books with Lee and Lowe Books, so I had some experience before I started publishing by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I mention that because I think it's important. Anytime you can learn at the knee, as it were, of an editor and professional designers and art directors, that's golden. I tell aspiring authors to try to get published by established publishers first because you learn so much in the process. Now, after I had some history under my belt, my first number of books were very well reviewed, and I had some credibility with librarians and with booksellers. So when I wanted to do books with CDs, which was a departure from traditional books, of course, I already had a bit of a track record and some reputation to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
I first started doing books, I started doing these sort of audio performances in my presentations. I speak quite a few times a year around the country at education conferences and, of course, at schools. So I would try out these different stories and see what sorts of reactions I would get from students. Sometimes they would give me puzzled looks. That would mean I have to go in and rewrite a certain passage. And other times they would get very excited. Sometimes they would just crack up at things that I didn't even realize were funny until I started to look at it from their perspective. So the live performance is definitely helpful. Publishing with other publishers is helpful. And then just a lot of aggressive self-education.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of years I read, it seemed like I was not reading fiction all of a sudden. I was reading newsletters and I was reading books on how to publish and how the book industry works. I had a steep learning curve at first, but it paid off. I am kind of stubborn once I get going on something. And you put a lot of obsessive care into whether the cow's hoof should be in one position or another, the angle of her head, how far her mouth should be open, how much of her tongue should be showing. All of these little details just combine to make a better end product. And, of course, the music. I can go on forever about the music, but lots of attention to detail, lots of patience. And I named my business Tortuga Press. Tortuga means turtle in Spanish, which I speak. And I named my company Tortuga Press because tortugas are slow. They take their time. And to me, that was an image that would give comfort during this process of publishing.
Well, you're to be complimented because this is great. Now, you have The Jazz Fly, and I have to tell you, I love this book. I just think this is so neat. And I know kids will love it, too. How did you come up with the idea for The Jazz Fly?
Well, The Jazz Fly is based a little bit more on my own experience. I've traveled to many countries. And as I said, I learned to speak Spanish. I've also learned to speak Japanese. I've lived in Japan. I've lived in Spain and in Mexico. I've spent time in India and many other countries, so I know what it's like to be thoroughly confused. So I thought it would be fun to thoroughly confuse kids as they're listening to this fly. It's about a fly who's got to find his way to town, but he talks like this. Habadadum, zebra boing, zabring, baby. You know, he just speaks jazz, and he's got to somehow get through to different animals. A hog that says oink, and a frog that says ribbit. And what we have is a mishmash of different languages going on. Eventually, they do come to understand each other. And I wanted to combine this with a bass, and with a saxophone, and drums, and a piano. Put it all together, and this is what I came up with.
Well, we're going to be playing an excerpt from this, and I have to tell you, the art is so cool in this book. But we're going to now play a piece, The Jazz Fly. This
all
is
right.
Going to get your toes tapping. So take a listen. We'll be back in just a minute. The Jazz Fly, playing next.
Fly buzzed by, it was late in the day, and he was lost. So we flew to a frog that was sitting on a log, and asked the frog which way to town. Zabazaboo, zabazee, zaroni.
Zabazaboo, zabazee, zaroni.
The frog didn't get the way the jazz fly talked. Ribbit the frog answered,
ribbit, ribbit.
The fly flew to a hog in a bog. He stayed clear of the mud to keep his black tux clean, and asked the hog which way to town. Zabazaboo, zabazee, zaroni.
Zabazaboo, zabazee, zaroni.
Oink, the hog answered,
oink, oink.
The fly saw a donkey short and gray, so we flew to ask him the way. Zabazaboo, zabazee, zaroni.
Zabazaboo, zabazee, zaroni.
The donkey just began to bray.
Hee-haw, hee-haw.
At last the fly flew to a furry dog. One more time he asked. Zabazaboo, zabazee, zaroni.
Zabazaboo, zabazee, zaroni.
Roof, 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 barked the pooch right away. She pointed her nose to say, go that way.
Roof, 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 roof.
The jazz fly flew past weeds and clover till he reached a street that was paved all over. He leaned left down the alley, right through the door. He saw fancy waiters creeping all across the floor. Beetles and maggots had come to hear the show. They were dining with the locusts by the firefly's glow. The band was looking antsy. It was 8:30. They grumbled, man, this fly is always late. The fly tugged at his sleeves, strolled to his drums, twirled around his brushes, and counted off a song. Za,
zee,
za, zee, zoo, zay. Willy the worm inched up and down his bass. To the net sashayed with her sax.
Zee,
centipede hit the piano keys like a man with 100 hands. The fly swished with his brushes, thumped his bass drum, made his cymbals ring, zing, ding, ding, ding. Then, like a chef stirring dinner in a pot, he put it all together and dished it out hot. Zop, ding, zop, doom, baby, swish, zop, boom, zop, zee, zop. Ooh, the fly was jamming, not scamming, but swimming like a salmon. Queen Bee sat down with a huff. This band plays is good, but that's not enough. I want a sound that'll make bugs shout. I want a new beat, or this band is out. The Fly, who'd been very...
Hi, this is Donna. I told you your toes would be tapping. You can't sit still during the Jazz Fly. And of course, you didn't hear all of it, and you didn't hear all of it with Gobble Quack Moon. Now, Matthew, with the Jazz Fly, because of the rhythms, because of the different instrumentation, and I love your characters. I mean, anybody that can come up with Nancy the Gnat, Willie the Worm, and Sammy the Centipede to go along as part of the band with Jazz Fly, and then you have the maggots sitting out there. This is so neat. It's all around insects, but not really. You have the donkey, you have the pig, and you have this wonderful interactive environment. But it really appeals to the imagination of a child, and it is so positive, because what this book did when I read it, I said, this is giving input to a child that they can invent something new. They can design something different. Instead of just being within a position of conformity all of the time, they can step out and do something very creative. And I think that's so absolutely positive.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, the Jazz Fly actually got started for me, not just through the traveling that I mentioned, but one day I was walking around Santa Rosa, California, where I live, and I came across a discarded shoebox that was filled with rubbish, and I thought, this is not good. People should put trash in trash receptacles. But there were lots of insects swarming around the candy wrappers and the food wrappers inside the shoebox. So I just looked at it a little bit differently. I thought, well, as far as the insect's concerned, this is not gross. This is not disgusting. This might be a gourmet restaurant. They're having a feeding frenzy in there. And there was music coming out of there in a sense. I mean, these insects were buzzing like, it sounded like some of the outside music of John Coltrane or Sonny Rollins back in the 1960s. So that gave me an idea for an insect nightclub where the Jazz Fly eventually would play his drums.
Well, folks, you never know what you're going to find if you pick up a crappy-looking shoebox on a street somewhere. You just don't know. See, I think that is what needs to be stimulated with children. They need to be able to have this creative forum where there are no rules, and they can make up these characters, because obviously the child in you has a delightful experience being able to develop and to grow. Now, you've got a sequel that's going to be coming out to the Jazz Fly. In fact, you've done a number of books. You have had books that are relating to Spanish-speaking peoples. You've got some books relating to the Japanese culture. And I think that that's so marvelous. So you've got a great deal to be proud of. Now, you have a book that is primarily aimed at parents and promoting literacy. Tell us about that book, Matthew.
Well, that book is my latest. It's called Give the Gift, 10 Fulfilling Ways to Raise a Lifetime Reader. I've got some good news. It was just selected as a finalist in the Parenting Family Book category of the best books of 2007. That's
wow.
With USA Book News, so very excited about that. But basically, this is a 32-page picture book for parents, which explains many, many strategies and reasons for reading to young people. When we read to young people, we not only deepen our emotional bonds with those young people, but we give them a foundation, we give them vocabulary, knowledge of the world, a sense of language. All of these things are going to pay off many, many more times than the time we invest. And it's just a terrific journey. I'm sure many of your listeners are great readers and do take the time to nurture their kids this way. And whenever I get a chance to speak to parents, I'd like to remind them of what a delightful pastime it is and how valuable it is.
Oh, no question about that. Now, Matthew, like I said, I know you've got all of these wonderful books, and these audios are just terrific. And it's something that you can start. You know, when you have a baby, I know when I came out with my children's book and I had the talking book audio, I had a mother come by. She purchased it. Her baby was less than 6 months old. And she was astonished when she took it home and she played it for the baby. And she came back the next day because I was in a three-day event. She said, my husband happened to be there at our booth, and she said, tell your wife I did not believe her when she said that babies respond to storytelling and the music. And
mm-hmm.
she said her little one kept trying to talk.
Yes.
Too. You know, it's like, I want you to know, they communicate. And she said she played it over and over for her baby. And she said it was amazing. I was just astonished. She said, I didn't believe this was possible. And I think when a parent does this, when they're reading to their children, even if they can't do anything but just drool, who cares?
It really doesn't matter, because when we're reading to kids, we, in effect, become the reading ambassadors, the language ambassadors. Kids will study our mouths to see how we formulate the words.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do with our tongue? What do we do with our lips? How do words sound? How do we give emphasis, stress to different words? They're looking at us as attentively as a violinist may look to the conductor for cues.
Yes, very, very much so. Now, parents, anyone can go to your website, which is MatthewGoleb.com, and I'm going to spell that. That's MatthewGoleb.com.
That's right.
They can go to your website. They can hear sound clips. They can get a listing of all of your books. And you even have videos.
Yeah, well, the videos are actually just going up. I've produced a number of videos, and if you click videos, then that's what you'll read about. But I am actually going to put up some performance videos within the next week or so. So I'll have video clips as well as the audio clips. Another thing your listeners may be interested in, I've got free handouts that they can download. These have things like not only a reading log, but a television and video game log, so that older kids who are maybe 9, 10, 11 can start paying attention to the way they spend their time.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a 12-year-old at home, and I know that's a little bit, he's an excellent reader, I'm pleased to say, but he does like his video games. I've also got a list of things that kids can do when they're on their own, other than watch TV and play video games.
Well, as you can tell, Matthew has a passion for what he does. It's first class, and I can recommend it highly. And if you're looking for some gifts, what is the age group for your book?
Well, it's funny. The Jazz Fly is just one of those books that happens to hit all ages. It's been featured on jazz radio stations where the DJs say, folks, here's a story for ages 2 through 99.
Uh-huh.
And then there's Gobble Quack Moon. I would say that's most appropriate for baby through maybe 6 or 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If you like music, of course, if you like blues guitar and that sort of experience, then, of course, you can be much older. Ten Oni Drummers is a great one for kids who are just getting over their fear of sleeping alone.
Okay, Matthew, we're going to have to stop. They've got to go to your website.
They've got to go to the website. Lots more information.
We are out of time. Matthew Goleb. MatthewGoleb.com. Matthew, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Have a fabulous holiday season.
Thank you so much, Donna. You too.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break, and we'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned? Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I hope you are having an absolutely fabulous day. And I want to let you know our telephone lines are now open, so if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, I would be delighted to do exactly that. Here are our toll-free telephone numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you are hearing the Donna Sebo Show for the first time, welcome. We're so delighted you're able to join our listening family. And all I need from you when you call in is your first name or your initial, and then after that, just let me do my thing, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. I have to tell you, this past weekend, of course, like so many of you, we have been invited to all kinds of parties, and this past weekend, we were at a gathering with friends, and it was just so amazing. We just had such a great time interacting with people of different walks of life and professional backgrounds and just had the best conversations. And it's always fun whenever I'm out socially and meeting people for the first time, because one of the primary questions that we're always asked is, what do you do? And so I very quietly tell them that I'm a radio talk show host and I have my daily program. And they go, oh, what's it all about? And I'll say, well, the orientation is all about empowering people. And then I just quietly throw in that I'm also a psychic, and their eyes get as big as bowling balls, and they go, wow, really, what do you do? How do you do it? And I get this barrage of questioning. It's so much fun. And I found this time around, I had a number of men that were interested in knowing about how does it work? What is it that enables me to be able to get information about someone over the phone without having any knowledge about them? They can be thousands and thousands of miles away, you know, around the world somewhere. Doesn't make any difference. And they wonder, how is this possible? How is this something that is going to be done by you? And I try to explain to them it's a discipline. And it really is. So often people will have misconceptions that you have to be born with some special ability or whatever. But the truth is, it's inherent in all of us. And so when you're able to understand that, and then you become curious, and you decide you want to find out about your own capabilities, that's when your journey really begins. And if you remember, if you're ever interested in developing your own intuitive abilities, be aware that who you keep company with, listen to them, watch them, see what you feel good with, experiment, explore, but don't be afraid, because this is a part of your natural self. This is something that is built into you so that it's going to enable you to live a life that has a lot more meaning to it. And I've been sort of sad at different times when I've met people who have been very, very talented, intuitively, psychically, whatever term you want to utilize, yet they've become afraid of it because they've been indoctrinated with a lot of ignorance instead of understanding that this is a natural patterning that we have within ourselves, that it's up to us to be able to refine and to use. They look at it as a negative. And I wanted to share a story with you about an experience that I had when I was in my 20s, when I first became aware through someone else's observation of my own intuitive talents. And at the time I had this encounter with this woman, she was in her late 70s. This is one of the most talented psychic women that I had ever had the privilege of meeting, and I think one of the most talented I've ever known in my lifetime to this point. But here she was in her 70s, and she hated her gifts. She hated her gifts because nobody around her for most of her life understood them. This woman had experienced time warps. This woman had experienced out of body. This woman could be aware when someone was ready to pass. When she was just a little girl, she was like three, four years old, she would know when somebody was going to die. And how it would happen is she'd get this beautiful fragrance of flowers. I mean, really beautiful, beautiful fragrance. And she said this happened when one of her aunts came over to visit her family. And she smelled this beautiful fragrance. And here she is, this little tiny person, turning to her mother and saying, "Mommy, Auntie's not going to be with us much longer." Well, her mother smacked her. Her mother said, "Don't you ever talk like that." The aunt was dead 2 weeks later. Now, someone might hear that and said, "Oh, that's, she should never say that. That's terrible for her to be able to see that." The thing was, there was not an ugly experience for her at all. She was dealing with a level of understanding at that small age when she shared it with her mother, instead of her mother being thoughtful and saying, "Well, why do you feel that way, dear? What is it that you think? Auntie's fine. She's very healthy today." She might have told her mom, "Well, I smell these beautiful flowers around her." Now, nobody told her this. She just knew it. Well, as she grew and she matured, she learned to suppress this part of herself. But it was always a battle. And because of a lot of her religious upbringing, she thought it was a horrific thing. This was so ugly. This was so bad. She was so different from everyone else. She couldn't talk to anybody. When she became an adult, she went through a lot of experiences that so many of us have. She had vivid dreams. She could see things, all of this, and she had no one to talk to. Well, as a mature woman, she had a serious situation in her life. She had an out-of-body experience, and I won't go into all the detail, but there was a physician that knew she was out of the body, and she was in a very bad state physically. And what he did, he went and dug his fingers into the palm of her hands, and she came back into the body, and he looked her straight in the eye, and he said, don't you ever do that again. She said she didn't know how the doctor knew that she was there but wasn't there. Because she saw everything that the doctor did. She again went through a time warp where she said it was the most incredible experience. And she told me so many different things. And she looked at me, and here I am. Here she is in her 70s, her late 70s. Here I am in my early 20s, and she's saying, can you explain this to me? And I'm going, me explain this to you? The only thing I knew to say to her at that time, because I was just astonished. This woman has experienced things I hadn't even come into experiencing at that time in my life. And I looked at her. I said, you should be so grateful. She said, I'm not grateful. I hate it because I'm different. I hate it because I have no one to talk to. And this poor soul had just gone through her life feeling like she was one of the damned. It's important to understand, and I know we've got a caller, it's important to understand that intuition, your psychic ability, is a tool to use to empower you. Ignorance, fear, and superstition, just turn it into something that makes it what it should not be. So whatever you do, and if you have a question, you know, about an experience that you've had, ask me. I don't mind. Let's go to our first caller today, and I'll be happy to share my insights with that caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, where are you calling from?
E from University Place.
All right, dear, I'm sorry I couldn't hear. Your voice is sort of soft. Would you repeat your name again?
E from University Place.
All right, and what I'm wanting to say to you right off the bat is you are going to have your hands full. You are going to be so busy. I think if you have any quiet time right now, I want you to take full advantage of it, and for heaven's sake, don't feel guilty. If you're sitting and doing absolutely nothing but looking at cartoons, and maybe you're just doing nothing more than watching a gray squirrel run up and down the tree, fine. You enjoy your quiet time. Take this quiet time to do any planning that you may need to do. Look at preparing, if you will, a list of things that you want to take care of. I am seeing your life, so many people running in and out of your life experience. It's like Grand Central Station. You don't have much time for yourself, do you?
No, and I just sold the house today, so you're right. I'm going to be busy moving.
Holy Moses. When are you set up to move?
We have to be moved by January 15th.
Wow. Well, you've got a little bit of time. You've got almost 3 weeks here. But I would say get your quiet time together. Start making those lists. Itemize out each room if you need to pack them up one at a time. Prioritize your stuff. And if you can, get some friends to help you. But don't get overly stressed. One thing I want to tell you is pack up everything you possibly can pack up, and don't leave any more than absolute necessity out. If you can pack up everything excepting for what you might need for 1 week's clothing.
Okay.
You know, and hygiene and that type of thing.
Right.
Really be aware of that. And if you want a cleaning crew to come into your house, then make sure everything is out of your house first.
Okay.
So that you, if you have just a couple of pieces of furniture, no problem. But you want to make sure that you time things and get everything organized. Then that move will go so smoothly. But you are just going to be incredibly, incredibly busy. Now, we've got a break here that's coming up. If you'll stay with me, we'll put you on hold, and we'll come back then and get your question.
Perfect.
All right. So this is Donna Sebo. We've got a caller on the line. If you would like to call in yourself, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back. Don't you go away now.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Outside the litter box, is it near the litter box or is it another room?
Usually near the litter box.
All right. So something's going on here, but I think your cat also has a physical problem. I think that there is something going on internally. I believe it's with the intestinal tract. So I don't know exactly what's triggering this. And I would suggest you talk to your vet.
Okay.
Because there is something that's creating a discomfort. And I'm not sure exactly why this is going on. But I think it won't take long for your cat to start using the litter box again. But you might want to change the litter. If you've used the same litter for a while,
yes,
you may need to change it, hon.
Okay.
There may have been a change in the formula or something there. Animals are so sensitive to this stuff.
Well, we have another cat, and I wonder if she doesn't like it that the other cat uses the litter box, too.
That might be. But you also, you know, experiment.
Okay.
Experiment. And if you need to have, you should have two litter boxes. That is something that you should have.
Oh, okay.
If you have two cats, you should have two litter boxes.
Oh. Okay.
And then you need to figure out where you're going to put them.
Uh-huh.
Where they have a sense of privacy. But you may be onto something there. But I'm also concerned about your cat.
Okay. So I've got a vet appointment for tomorrow.
Good. I'm glad.
Okay.
I'm glad. I'm very glad.
Okay.
And if she's been sort of finicky about certain foods, you need to let him know.
Okay.
All right, dear?
Thank you.
And happy holidays to you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. I want to let you know we're going to be talking with Susie Krabacher tomorrow. Angels of a Lower Flight is the name of her book. This is such a heartwarming story about a woman's journey, and her humanitarian project that she's become involved with is just absolutely perfect. And I want you to be able to hear her story because it is so very special. She has walked a walk of journey of working with children in a very special way. Also, we're going to be talking with Dr. Elmo on Wednesday. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. He's one of my favorite people, and I love his whimsical commentaries. It's just great. Then we're going to be talking with Guy Finley on Thursday. The Secret of Letting Go is going to be our particular subject matter, and it's very timely. We're coming into a new year, and you want to let go of what's no longer valid and move on with what is. And then on Friday, have those pads of paper and pens happy, be handy, because we are going to be talking about food. Glorious food, cooking with wines of Washington and Oregon. Of course, that's my home turf, so this is really a subject matter that's very close to my heart. I love food. Oh, it's wonderful. I just think it should be savored and enjoyed. And when you are able to cook with wines, it is just such a unique culinary delight. And we have got Troy Townsend, who's going to be our guest, and that is going to be an absolute delight. So join us. We've got a great lineup of guests. And I said I had a recipe for you, and I'm going to give it out. This is on chocolate truffles. And I have to share a quick story with you. I, one Christmas, I had gone through a very, very difficult time about a month before. I had a serious physical situation that occurred, and there were these women that worked in a business underneath the studio that I was working in. And this particular Christmas, this one young woman came out, and she said, I have a gift for you. And it was so sweet, and she had homemade truffles. Oh, were they good. Oh, my goodness. She had just done such a wonderful job. So when that meant so much to me that she was so thoughtful and so sweet, and she did that. And I thought, wow, when I came across this recipe for chocolate truffles, I thought, this is something that you could do. It's so easy, and you will absolutely love it. Now, you can make these truffles up to a week ahead, keep them in the refrigerator, and then they're great. If you have guests pop in, if you want to get those cute little cups and little box, you know, you can go to the dollar store, get these pretty little boxes or containers, get those little foil cups and you put your candies in them, and it just is so pretty, but it's not expensive. It's something that's delicious and people love homemade. All right, this is what you're going to need. You're going to need one package of semi-sweet chocolate chips. If you like milk chocolate, use your preference, but try this recipe the way it is first. One package of semi-sweet chocolate chips. You're going to need a quarter of a cup of butter, and you can use salted or unsalted, whatever your taste buds like. You're going to need a quarter of a cup of heavy cream, You're going to need 2 tablespoons of coffee-flavored liqueur. Now, you don't have to use it if you don't want it, or you can use any other liqueur if you like. And then you can have white decorating icing fitted with a writing tip, and this you can get at the store. And if you want to use flowers or something else, you can always figure something good, cute like that to put on. Now, this is how simple it is. I've not got much time. On top of a double boiler, melt your chocolate with the butter and stir it until it's smooth. Then you stir in your cream, and also, if you're using the liqueur, you don't have to use the liqueur, but if you use it, that's when you put it in. Now, you're going to pour it into a shallow bowl, and you're going to cover it, and then you're going to freeze it until it's set, but not frozen. And it's going to take about 1 to 2 hours, so you need to check it after an hour to see if it's, you know, if it's firm but not frozen. Then you want to take and line a baking sheet with wax paper, and for each truffle you want to scoop 1/2 teaspoon of the chocolate mixture, roll it into a ball, and place it on the wax paper and chill it until it's set. And then you can pipe the icing and decorative swirl onto the truffles or decorate with candy flowers, whatever you want. It's your option. Well, we're out of time. My goodness, it goes by when you're having so much fun. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's a great day to be where you are, to be who you are. Thanks for being with me. We'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at BBS. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.